Brothers and sisters, will you take your Bibles, please? Turn to page 157, or if you're not using the Pew Bible and your own Bible, please turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The scripture today, Brother Pablo is going to read to you from Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. Hear the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. What a blessing it is that the face of the Lord will be upon his children."
And thank you, brother. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are once again presenting ourselves before you to sit at your feet, to hear your word, Lord. So speak to us now, we pray. And guide our feet into the way of peace. In Jesus Christ, amen. Well, with all our recent concentration on spiritual warfare and conflict with the end of Ephesians there, it would perhaps be beneficial for us now to round out the year by highlighting the flip side, Christian peace. You know, Ephesians itself ended with a benediction, peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. You know, haven't we just been stressing and reinforcing what a fight we're in? I mean, this is a fight for our lives. It's a struggle. We're wrestling against mighty invisible powers, the forces of darkness. There's no peace. We're not going to have peace until we lay down to die. There's a war on. Well, yes, there is. And yet, is there not, at the beginning of every New Testament letter, peace to you, grace and peace to you, right? Or peace be multiplied unto you, something like that, right? Ephesians began that way. They all do. The will of God for his church is that his children would have, know, and be at peace. Peace coming down from the Father above, right, and sweeping over my spirit, right? All of the teaching and the instruction that came in between, nevertheless, the letter both began and ended with bestowals of peace. Christ came and preached peace. That was Ephesians 2:17. He himself is our peace, right? Christ himself said to his loyal followers, "Peace I leave with you. Right? My peace give I unto you. These things I've spoken so that in me you may have peace." And with the conclusion of Ephesians, I've had a couple of snippets of scripture come into my mind. I put them there in your bulletin. You know, frankly, I thought the study of Ephesians was rather strenuous and rigorous, and it was pretty intense. And with that now sort of under our belts, something, I guess you could say, occurred to me, the Lord presented it to me, something in Acts chapter 9, which if you want to look it up, it's Acts 9:31, and this is at the conclusion of the initial story of Saul's conversion. You know, Saul surprised everybody by becoming a believer. And Saul has at this point in Acts 9, you know, he's done some initial preaching, some powerful preaching both in Damascus and in Jerusalem. And, you know, he has set sail for his hometown of Tarsus. We have this beautiful verse in Acts 9, verse 31. And it says this, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace." Now, I learned it from the NIV, which says that they enjoyed a time of peace. Okay, they enjoyed a time of peace and were edified or strengthened. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Beautiful. And the other verse that that I've been thinking of comes from Luke chapter 1, which rewinds all the way back to before Jesus ever set foot on the earth. And this is where John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, is rejoicing in the birth of his new son, right? This son who was foretold, he was sent to call the people into to prepare the way of the Lord, okay? So this is Luke 1:78, the back half of it. Zechariah says this, "The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace," right? To guide our feet into the way of peace. So with the animating contest of a lengthy study of Ephesians behind us and now complete, just one more week to go until we reach the holiday season, so-called, perhaps our church also could enjoy a time of peace. Plus, you know, the year is winding down, the cooler weather. We have our nice reds and yellows here. Pretty soon it will be red and green. I just thought maybe we could focus for a little while on the way of peace. So once again, let me give you these two scriptures again. One is from shortly before Christ's ministry, and one is from shortly after. Okay, so Luke 1:78, shortly before the ministry of Christ. "The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Right, there's an anticipation there from Zacharias, right? Something that we need from God is on the way. Fast forward roughly 35 years or so, and you have Acts 9, verse 31, which says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." So in between those two points in time, obviously peace came to a very great number of people. And I want to see if we can kind of follow a little journey from point A to point B over the next couple of weeks. Okay, so what is the way of peace? The Lord would guide our feet into it, right into the way of peace. He would show us the way. Right, he would have us then, after showing us the way, we would walk in the way of peace. Okay, it's very, very clear that man craves peace. Right, we would like to have peace all around or peace on every side, like the Bible says. Right, we're told that there is a way to it. Okay, you yourselves may be searching for peace, or chances are you know somebody, people close to you who are not at peace. Right? And look at all the people in the world who are anxious, restless, or perhaps bitter, aggressive, angry, right? People who are living in turmoil or terror. If there is a way of peace, let's investigate the way. Now, Isaiah gives a certain assessment of the state of people. He says they don't know the way of peace. Now, this is Isaiah 59, obviously implying that there is a way, right? People don't know it. So Isaiah 59, verse 7 says this, "Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed the blood of the innocent. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their paths." Okay, so obviously they're not on the right path, right? Desolation and destruction are in their path. "The way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths, but whoever takes that way shall not know peace." Okay, Zacharias spoke of having our feet guided into the way of peace. Well, it's because people are on the wrong way that they don't know peace. Someone has to guide our feet into the right way. And so people keep looking and looking for someone to guide them. But where are you going to find a guide? We're all blind down here, right? If the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both end up in the ditch. Who knows the way? Who can show us any good? Okay, you can try all you want with things that people try, psychiatrists and therapists. You can try with astrologers and palm readers and mystics. You can try with herbal concoctions and meditation and trying to get to another plane. You can try with, and to me this is maybe the most ridiculous term ever invented, self-help. How are you going to help yourself? You can't guide yourself. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're supposed to get to. How are you going to guide yourself? There's a term for that, trial and error, right? You try, you err, right? It's a life of error. I think a more proper word for that would be wandering. I'm just meandering. I'm trying this. I'm trying that. Okay, nothing works. You're not self-helping. You're guessing. Okay, that's what Isaiah said. They have made for themselves paths, crooked paths. But whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So in chapter 57, Isaiah says this, the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. Okay, it is unable to rest. Its waters churn up mud and mire, and there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. So peace is out there somewhere to be had. At least one hopes it is, right? Isn't that a startling idea? You know, what? Maybe to the lost person, that is the most frightening and unsettling thought of all. What if there's no answer? What if peace turns out to be impossible? Death is on the way. The world looks like it's doomed. Who knows what pestilence is next around the corner? There's so many people who annoy me, so much to be dissatisfied about and bitter about. What if there's no answer at all? What if I search and struggle all my life long and it's for nothing? Well, it becomes apparent, I think, before very long that if there is an answer, if there is a way to peace, man as a race is not going to find it by trial and error. It has to be revealed to us from outside. Okay, man needs to be guided. Therefore, the first thing that must happen if man is going to ever have peace, the first step toward peace, point A, if you like, and if you're going to get from point A to point B, you have to start with point A, and if there is no point A, there's no point. Okay, the first step toward man's peace is God's being gracious enough to tell us about it, okay, to show it to us. Right, before we can walk the way, we have to know there is one. Okay, and if God withheld the knowledge of the way of peace from us, we would never know what it is. So we bless the Lord, first of all, simply for the fact that he has spoken to us, right, that he has shown goodwill to us, right? God moves in the affairs of man in order to reveal to us that there is a way of peace and that one does exist, right? So Zechariah says it with a thrill in his heart, with a full heart, the day spring from on high has visited us, right? God communicates, God calls, God cares. If God were ill inclined toward us, as some people seem to accuse him of being, well, then why would he not just simply hide himself from us, right? God could obscure the way of peace and cover the tracks so that we could never find it, right? If we would be doomed then to, what else could you do but to construct for yourself some other path, some crooked path, right? You would be in futility forever if God were so inclined. You could be searching all your life but never finding. You could be afraid all your life, never knowing real comfort. You could be doing injury and receiving injury and never having healing. A man would be competing and struggling and having one hope after another just be dashed and coming up empty. Okay, but the word says, when you make crooked paths for yourself, you will not know peace. How is there any way around that? Okay, so Christians, let this be the first source of peace to you, simply to recognize the fact of God's goodwill, right? The angels announced it to the Bethlehem shepherds, right? Goodwill toward men, right? Glory to God in the highest, and down here on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, okay? God speaks, he calls, he reveals his goodwill, right? He visits his people. The day spring from on high has visited us, and he has shone a light upon us. He's reached down to those who are meandering in futility, to those who dwell in the shadow of death, and they say, look, there, a way, there's a way. Okay, like the shepherds, let's go see, right? And I love the sort of lived parable of the shepherds. You know, there they are. They're literally sitting in darkness. It's the middle of the night. They're literally in darkness, unknowing. Angel splits open the sky with brilliant light, announces God's goodwill. Let's go see. Well, before you can go see, God has to show you that there's something to go see, right? That there is a way of peace. The Israelites in Egyptian slavery, they didn't know there was a way until one day here comes Moses over the dunes, right? God sent him. God communicated to them. He sent word, right? He didn't ignore his people. He's a God of goodwill, right? If God was not a God of goodwill, why send Moses, right? And you'd have to wonder if the people after a few generations in slavery weren't starting to think, maybe God's forgotten us. Maybe God's not a God of goodwill at all. But you have this beautiful bit at the end of Exodus chapter 4, and this is right when Moses first arrives there. He meets with the elders of the people first. As Exodus 4:29 says, Moses and Aaron gathered all the elders of the children of Israel together, and Aaron spoke to them all the words which the Lord had given to Moses. And remember, Moses did the signs in the sight of the people, right? The hand, the leprous hand, and the rod, and the snake. And it says, so the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their afflictions, they bowed their heads and worshiped. So there's some peace right there. I mean, even before God brings them out, even before Moses even has his first encounter with the Pharaoh, there's some peace, right? The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to us who dwell in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so again and again, God communicates. His people go astray again and again over the centuries, and over again, God keeps continuing his goodwill. Here comes a prophet. If God were not a God of goodwill, why would he bother to keep calling his people back, saying, this is the way, walk in this way. Your feet are starting to get off to the right. Your feet are starting to get off to the left. No, this is the way. Now, you may not think that you understand a whole lot of the Bible, but understand this. The very fact that the Bible exists proves that God is kindly inclined toward us, that he is a God of peace, a God of goodwill. He speaks. He doesn't hide himself. He intends to guide. They call the time in between the Testaments. Does anybody know what they call those 400 years? 400 years of silence. Was God silent? Well, there's the written word. You know, people could read the written word and they could hear it read and they could know that God was there and that God had told us his will. But, you know, at that point, there were a lot of loose ends, a sense of unfinished business, right? There's a redemption promised but not accomplished, or a lot of promises but unkept ones. And you have the nations once again encroaching and re-exerting their dominance over God's people. And how long, Lord? We all wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind carry us away. And no one calls upon your name, and no one rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and you have given us over to our sins. Yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are clay. You are the potter. We're the work of your hand. Don't be angry beyond measure, Lord. Don't forsake your people. Don't remember our sins forever. Look on us, we pray, because we are your people. We need to be saved. Right? There's no peace. There's confusion. There's perplexity about God's intentions. There's trepidation about the future. There's sin against us. There's sin among us. Things are looking bad. And then one day there's Zacharias in the temple. Here's this angel. Peace to you, he says. And he announces the promise of baby John the Baptist, right, who's going to go before the Lord to prepare his way. Zacharias says, the day spring from on high has visited us. And you can look this up too, Acts 10:36. Acts 10:36. I like how Peter puts this when he's speaking to Cornelius, and he's looking back, he's sort of reviewing the arrival of Jesus on the scene. Okay, Acts 10:36. Peter says, the word which God sent, okay, did God manifest his goodwill? Yes, he sent a word, right? The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. Okay, that word you know, friend Cornelius, which was, because you live here, you know the word that was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Okay, remember those Christmas verses, right? The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the Galilee of the Gentiles. On those sitting in the shadow of darkness, a light has dawned, right? In Galilee, you know how God anointed, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The day star from on high has now visited us. It's goodwill toward man. God's showing he's not left us orphans. He's not left us in darkness. He sent us word, right? Preached peace through Jesus Christ. Obviously, God intends to guide our feet into the way of peace. Never doubt that God is a God of goodwill. People lose sight of that because of the troubles of the world are many, right? Because there are a lot of things to upset us, right? Because of evil people, because of our own sin, because some just because the earth is under the curse of decay. Where is God? Why doesn't God, you know, why doesn't he, as if God were against us, right? As if God desired to shut us out or cause us harm. No. No, there is a way. The day spring from on high has visited us. He has shown a light upon us. He is guiding us into the way of peace. Now, we have to listen to him. Okay, we have to let him tell us what that way is. And then, having heard that, we have to walk in it. Okay, there is a point B. Okay, there is a place where we can arrive at where peace is a lived reality. Like it said there in Acts 9, the churches enjoyed a time of peace, right? Praise the Lord. But for now, at least we know there's a point A, right? The grace and the goodwill of God revealed to us that there is a way of peace. You know, we can start moving toward point B next time, right? But at least for now, we know that God has shown us there is a, he's picked us up from wherever we were, and he's put us down at point A. Okay, and thanks be to God that he's done that. He's visited us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That starts with the Lord. It's the Lord's initiative, right? He is good. He is gracious. Men don't have peace unless the Lord is gracious, right? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God has proved his goodwill, right? Grace and peace to you. You see, the grace comes first, right? God's action comes first. God's initiative comes first. Grace. Then we can walk in the way after God shows us there is a way, right? The day spring on high from on high has visited us. That's grace. And that's enough for today, right? To be at point A, grace, right? We can set out for point B, peace, next time. But at least now we can say, lead on, O King Eternal, right? Till sin's fierce war shall cease and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. We're going to get there. The church has had peace and we're strengthened and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied, right? The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Ask and you shall receive it. Seek, and you shall find peace. Let's bless the name of the Lord together. Our Father, indeed, blessed be your name, God of peace. Thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful grace to the children of men, that you have not left us indeed in darkness and ignorance and futility, but you have demonstrated to the world, Lord, that you are there, you communicate, you call, you bless your people with peace, Lord. Bless us today, we ask, as we enter this peaceful, hopefully, time of the year. We ask, Lord, that you would set each of our hearts at rest in the knowledge of redemption through Jesus Christ, your goodwill toward us in everything, Father. Keep us safe and calm, no matter what happens on the outside, Lord, that we know that we belong to you and you are ours. In Jesus Christ, we bless your holy name. Amen.